Well, good morning, everybody, and Merry Christmas. Man, it is great to be together. Excited about closing out our series that we have been calling Souvenirs. We've been talking about how just like a loving father might bring souvenirs back to his kids after a long trip, our loving father brings us good gifts from his kingdom. And we have been going through one of the most beautiful and powerful chapters in the Old Testament. It's Isaiah 40. And we've been looking at some of the gifts that our Father brings us. And these first 3 weeks have been fantastic. Pastor Larry has been crushing it. The first week he talked about the gift of comfort. The second week we talked about the gift of joy and then the gift of majesty. As good as those 3 weeks have been, though, I've had this date circled on my calendar since we started planning this series many months ago. And it's not because I'm preaching, I promise. I had the date circled far before we knew who was preaching this day. I'm excited about this day because the passage that we're looking at today is one of the most powerful, most encouraging, and most beloved passages in all of the Bible. If you're new to the Bible, what you'll find is that over time, there are certain passages that you find yourself going back to over and over again. And for me, this is definitely one of those passages. And I bet for a lot of you here today, it's one of those as well. And I know there are some here today and watching online as well who are new to the Bible and new to Christianity. And I can't tell you how excited I am for you to hear this for the very first time today. If you've ever felt tired or weary, if you've ever been worn down or discouraged, if you've ever felt like you just didn't have the strength to go on, this passage is for you. I want to make sure that we really hear the beauty and the power of this passage. So I've asked my friend Greg English to come and to read it for us. Greg, come on up and read for us Isaiah 40, 25 through 31.
To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. When I was a kid, I was a little bit on the nerdy side. True confession time. On a scale from Steve Urkel to James Bond, I wasn't all the way to Urkel, but I was definitely on that half. So back in the 80s at Christmas time when my friends were asking for parachute pants and skateboards, I was asking for a microscope and a chemistry set. The chemistry set was disappointing, by the way, if you're curious. Well, I do remember that for a short period of time, I got really interested in something called a perpetual motion machine. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. The idea behind a perpetual motion machine is it's a machine that once you get it going, it keeps going perpetually forever, without adding any kind of fuel or any kind of energy to it. Sounds like an amazing thing, and over the years, lots of people have tried to create one. They've tried weights and counterbalances, they've tried complex gears, they tried water and surface tension, but no matter what they try, it always ends up failing. You know why? Because it's impossible. It's impossible. I read a little bit about it last week, and I found out that a perpetual motion machine is impossible because it violates the first and second laws of thermodynamics. I'm going to be honest, I don't know what that means at all, but I don't think you have to know the laws of physics to understand this just isn't going to work. Because we know this innately, right? Everything eventually runs out of steam. Everything wears out. Everything eventually stops. Now, this hasn't kept people from being obsessed by this idea over the years. You might remember in school learning about the Spanish explorer Ponce de Leon, who was looking for the fountain of youth, this mythical fountain that if you just drank from it, you'd never grow old. Or closer to our day, I haven't seen all of the Marvel movies, but it seems like each one that I see has pretty much the same plot. Somebody finds some kind of source of energy or power, and the rest of the movie is a big fight over who controls it. But no matter how many movies Hollywood makes about it, or how many explorers are looking for that mythical fountain, or how many inventors try to invent a perpetual motion machine, it's not going to matter. It's impossible. Because whether we like it or not, there is a sad truth that governs our universe. And the sad truth is this: our strength is limited. In the natural world, the world governed by the laws of physics and thermodynamics and all the rest, everything wears out. Cars eventually run out of gas, right? Buildings eventually crumble. Bodies eventually die. Our strength is limited. Now, thousands of years before anyone was talking about thermodynamics, the prophet Isaiah already knew this. Check out how he says it in verse 30. In verse 30, he says, "Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall." Isaiah was prophesying about a day that the Israelites would be in exile, and he says, look, this is going to be hard. You are going to be bone tired. He uses two different words to describe this weariness. In English, they're translated tired and weary, and the Hebrew words that are translated tired and weary both mean being overwhelmed by your circumstances, but they have slightly different shades of meaning. I thought this was really interesting. The word tired in Hebrew has the implication that our internal resources are not enough. We don't have enough strength to face what's in front of us. And the word weary is kind of the same thing, but the flip side. We can't face it because what we're facing is so challenging, the external challenge. But either way, whether it's a lack of internal resources or the magnitude of that external challenge, the point is clear. Isaiah is saying this exile is going to wear them out. But it's not just exile, you know, right? This is part of the human condition. Isaiah says that even youths grow tired and weary. And the implication that's unstated is if youths grow tired and weary, man, what about us poor old people? We know that they get tired and weary. That's a given, right? I'm 47 and I'm in relatively decent shape, but I got to tell you, I feel this. When I wake up in the morning, my body aches. That didn't happen when I was 27. I still love to run, but I found that I'm slower than I used to be. When I tie my shoes, it's farther than it used to be. And when I try to read something close to my eyes, it's blurrier than I used to be. If you're over 40, you know what I'm talking about, right? I really like what Pastor Larry said in a sermon one time. He said, you know, they ought not call it Prevention Magazine. They ought to call it Postponement Magazine. You can't prevent aging and death. All you can do is postpone it. As Michael Irvin famously said, Father Time is undefeated. We all know that our strength fades as we get older, but Isaiah says it's not just an age thing. He says, look, even young people get tired and weary. I'm always amazed by feats of endurance, ultramarathons, swimming the English Channel, stuff like that. I read this week about one that blew my mind. In the 1960s, there was a teenager named Randy Gardner, and he set out to set the world record, and he did successfully, for the longest amount of time gone without sleep. Get this, Randy Gardner stayed awake for 11 consecutive days. 11 days, can you imagine? This is amazing to me in two different directions. First of all, I mean, just imagining what that would be like. After one night of no sleep, I'm just crushed. He stayed awake for 11 days. But I'm also amazed on the flip side that as far as we have advanced over all the millennia, as much technology as we have, the longest any human being has ever been able to go without literally falling asleep is 11 days. 11 days. Our strength is limited. But it's not just our physical strength that's limited. It's our emotional and mental strength as well, because life is hard, right? And many times the things we face just flat out overwhelm the mental and emotional resources that we have on hand. Life has a way of overwhelming us with challenges at work or in our marriage or with our kids or with our mental health. I mean, life is tough and our strength is limited. Now, that statement is true every year, but man, if there was ever a year where we felt this acutely, it's 2020, right? I mean, this year has been a struggle. I don't know about you, but I have felt weariness like I don't remember this year. I felt weary. And I want to just pause for a moment and acknowledge that this has been a really tough year for mental health. You know, this is something that your pastors think about a lot. The isolation and the fear brought on by the pandemic, the anxiety brought on by all of the fighting politically in our country, it's taken a toll. And I just want to say, if you're struggling today, I want to say a couple of things to you. First of all, you're not alone. You're not alone. And second of all, there is hope and there is help available. So don't suffer in silence. Please talk to a friend. Talk to your grow group leader. Talk to one of the pastors. Come to our growth intensive in January about navigating the pandemic. There's help available. So the sad truth is that everything wears out. Our strength is limited. But in the midst of this sad news, in the midst of all of this negativity, there is one exception. In a universe where everything wears out, there is one exception to this rule, and it's a surprising truth. The surprising truth is that God's strength is limitless. Our strength is limited. God's strength is limitless. Look at what Isaiah says in verse 28. Isaiah says, "The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth." And check it out. "He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom." Isaiah says, look, God is everlasting. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He stands outside of time. He says he's also the creator of the ends of the earth. So everything that exists was spoken into being by God, from the tiniest subatomic particles to the most massive constellations. And then, I love this, the part we highlighted here, he will not grow tired or weary. You recognize those two words? The same words that Isaiah uses to describe us. We grow tired and weary, but not God. God will never grow tired or weary. His strength is limitless. You know what this makes me think of? It makes me think of lunch. More specifically, a place that my friends and I loved to eat lunch when we were in high school. It was a glorious place called Poncho's Mexican Buffet. I don't know if you have ever been to a Poncho's or not, but man, we loved this place. The sign had the four sweetest words that a teenage boy can read. You know what they are? All you can eat. That's right. I haven't been to a Poncho's since high school, and I have no idea if the food's any good. But when it comes to teenage boys, I've discovered that food quantity is more important than food quality. In fact, my son Joshua, when he was in high school, one night at dinner as he was on his third helping, he reflectively said, "You know, I've discovered I'm just not that discriminating when it comes to food." I wasn't either. So the amazing thing about Poncho's is back when we were in high school, you could get an all-you-can-eat Mexican lunch for under $4. Under $4. And this wasn't one of those cheap buffet places where you had to get up and go get your own food. I mean, this was a legit restaurant with waiters and everything, right? If you've been there, you know how it works, right? This is amazing. Every table had these little flagpoles on them. I think we have a picture of the flagpole. Yes, on the flag, it's a mixture between the Mexican flag and the Poncho's logo. And the way that it worked was whenever you wanted more food, you just raise that little flag up the flagpole, and magically a waiter would appear and bring you enchiladas and tacos and flautas and all the sopapillas you could eat. Man, we wore those flags out. Now, I know this sounds a little bit ridiculous, but I think that in a small way, that's kind of what Isaiah had in mind. He's saying that when it comes to God, there's no limit. There's no limit. There's always more. His strength never runs out. It doesn't matter how many times you raise that little flag, there's always more. God's strength is limitless. I want to pause for a moment and ask a question about this, and I apologize if it sounds sacrilegious. I really don't intend it to. I think this is really a good question, and here it is. We know God's strength is limitless, but does it matter? Does it matter? It's great that God made the universe and that he's everlasting, but what difference does that make to me? My strength is limited. So, if I can't pay my rent, what difference does it make that Jeff Bezos is worth $181 gazillion? Jeff Bezos doesn't know me. He doesn't care about me. He's not going to pay my rent, right? I mean, his wealth may be limitless, but that is irrelevant to me. I think that is kind of the way Israel was feeling about God. Look at what verse 27 says. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Israel's basically saying, sure, God may be powerful, but apparently he's forgotten about us, or he doesn't know about it, or maybe worse yet, maybe he knows, but he just doesn't care. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever wondered if anyone really does know the pain that you're walking through? If anybody really does care? That's how the Israelites felt in exile. Isaiah acknowledges this feeling, but he doesn't let him stay there. He says, look, you haven't been forgotten. Remember who you're dealing with. Not only is God everlasting, not only did he create the universe, but verse 28 says his understanding no one can fathom. And one commentator I read this week made the point that just blew me away. He said that understanding that Isaiah is talking about is not just understanding of the universe, it's understanding of you individually. There is no one in the universe, you included, that knows you better than God does. I love what Isaiah says earlier in the passage. Look at verse 26. I don't know if you caught this. Verse 26 says, lift up your eyes to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts, and check it out, one by one, and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. God didn't just create all the stars. He created each star. He gave each star a name. He knows every star. Not one of them is missing. And it's not just the stars, friends. God didn't just create all of the people. He created each person. He knows each person's name. He knows you. He understands you. He loves you. Jesus makes the same point in Luke 12. He says this. He says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. Isaiah starts with the stars and gets smaller. Jesus starts with the sparrows and gets bigger. But either way, the point is the same. God knows every single star. God knows every single sparrow, and God knows, values, and loves every single person. God knows us. He understands us. I love the way David put it in Psalm 103. He says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Get this, for he knows how we are formed. He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. God knows our weakness. He knows that our strength is limited. And that sets us up for a third and final truth. And this truth is stunning. The stunning truth is that God loves to share. This God, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, the one who calls every star in the universe by name, the one who knows you better than you know yourself, loves to share his limitless strength with you. Check out the end of the passage. Isaiah says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. We read this part already. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But look what happens. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. God doesn't hoard this limitless strength. He doesn't keep it to himself. He can give it away freely because there's always more. He shares it with the weary. He shares it with the discouraged. He shares it with the lonely. He shares it with the depressed. He shares it with the grieving. What a stunning truth this is. The natural order of things is that everything breaks down eventually. Everything runs out of gas. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But God, the creator of all things, who knows us individually and loves us unconditionally, stands willing and ready to give us new strength just when we're at our weakest, just when we're at our most desperate. Now, what does this look like? Well, Isaiah gives us three really cool word pictures to describe what this looks like. The first one, he says, sometimes it looks like you're soaring on wings like eagles. Maybe you're struggling through a difficult season, and all of a sudden you hear just the right verse or just the right song, or maybe all of a sudden you have that unmistakable sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit with you, and your heart is soaring. Sometimes it looks like soaring. Sometimes it looks like running and not growing weary. Maybe God has called you into a new role of service or a new aspect of leadership. And to be honest, you just aren't sure if you have in you what it takes to fulfill this role. But then as you wait on the Lord, all of a sudden you find yourself accessing these reserves of supernatural strength that you didn't know you have. And then you feel like you're running down the sideline like CeeDee Lamb toward the end zone and no one can catch you. Sometimes it looks like running. Sometimes it just looks like walking and not growing weary. You find yourself in a season that seems like it'll never end. Maybe it's caring for a loved one with a chronic illness. Maybe it's just going through a pandemic where it seems like the finish line keeps moving. And you find that somehow, some way, God gives you the strength to keep putting one foot in front of the other. Whatever the speed, whether we're in first gear or overdrive, God has promised to renew our strength. Now, it's important to note what he doesn't promise. He doesn't promise that we're going to understand everything that happens to us. He doesn't promise that we're going to like everything that happens to us. And he doesn't even promise that the strength will come immediately. But these verses do promise that when we hope in the Lord, some translations say wait on the Lord, which means it may take a while. Some translations say trust in the Lord. When we hope, wait, and trust in the Lord, he will renew our strength. So how do we do this? How do we practically wait on the Lord or hope in the Lord? Well, if you'll forgive the analogy, I think we do it the same way my friends and I did at Poncho's. We raise the flag. We raise the flag. We acknowledge that we're out of strength. We acknowledge that our plate is empty, that we just don't have what it takes. And in faith, we raise the flag through prayer. We say, God, I don't have enough strength to keep going. Would you please help me? And then in a miracle of grace, God appears at our table and he brings us the gift of strength. All you can eat, all you could ever need. You know, when Israel started to doubt whether God knew about or cared about what they were going through, Isaiah said, look at the stars, look at the stars. And that was a reminder that they're not alone. I think that's great advice. And in this Christmas season, I wonder if we might take it but tweak it just a little bit and say, if you ever have a moment, if you wonder if anybody knows, if they really care, don't just look at these stars. Look at the star. Look at the star of Bethlehem. Look to the manger. Look to the incarnation. Look and see that when we were at our weakest, when we were in our moment of deepest need, God didn't flinch. God didn't look the other way. No, when we were at our weakest, God became flesh. We sang about it a moment ago. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel was born, bringing us grace, bringing us forgiveness, and bringing us the gift of strength. I've told some of you the story about in high school, one of my summer jobs was mowing yards, and there was one particular day that I'll never forget. It was one of those just oppressively hot and humid Texas days, well over 100 degrees. I'd already mowed 4 or 5 yards, and about an hour earlier, I'd run out of water. I didn't plan well that day, and so I was out of water, and the only money I had with me was one quarter, 25 cents. And I remember in those days that there was a grocery store not too far away that had some vending machines outside that sold store brand soda for 25 cents. And so I drove over to that grocery store, and as I pulled in the parking lot, I saw a sight that made me do a double take. There was a new vending machine right by the door, and it said, ice cold water, 1 gallon, 25 cents. Like, are you kidding me? I was so excited. So I threw the truck in park, hopped out, shoved my quarter in the slot, and pushed the button and waited for my jug of ice cold water to appear. Except that it didn't. Instead, a gallon of ice cold water began spilling out of the spigot where you're supposed to put your container to catch the gallon of ice cold water. And I stood on the sidewalk and wept. Actually, I tried to weep, but I was so dehydrated, only salt came out. Well, I've told some of you that story before, but I've never told you what happened next. After I stopped licking the puddles on the sidewalk, I remembered that my house was less than a mile away. And so I got back in the truck, and I drove home, and I found a limitless supply of ice-cold water. And not only that, I found a family that loved me and cared about me and encouraged me. Friends, some of you here today, some of you watching online today, are standing on the hot sidewalk just watching the last drop of water spill onto the pavement. You feel like your last ounce of strength is gone. But don't despair. Don't give up. You're not far from home. All you have to do is turn toward home, and there you will find living water. There you will find a loving Father who never grows tired or weary, and He loves to give good gifts to His children, including the gift of strength. If you don't believe me, look at the manger. Look at the cross. God has given us Jesus. And as Romans 8 says, He who did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? So come home. Put your hope in the Lord. Wait on the Lord and receive the gift of strength. Renewed strength. And as we hope in Him together, we will soar on wings like eagles. We will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not be faint. May it be so in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for these amazing and beautiful words. We thank You for this precious promise that when we wait on You, we will renew our strength. And we thank You that these aren't just empty words, that You proved them. You proved them by sending Your Son Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Give us the strength today to put our hope in You. In the name of our Savior, we pray together. Amen.